Hey, Corey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man. How are you doing this morning?
I'm all right, thank you. You give the Raptors any chance against the Cavaliers, or do you like the Raptors, like, with home court advantage to beat the Cavaliers?
Yeah, I mean, well, I thought Indiana would beat the Cavs, but, I mean, I think the inconsistency in that series of Oladipo, you know, you just never knew what you were going to get. But I think the Raptors have more depth, although Indiana's pretty deep, and I think they've got the guy in DeRozan ready to take the next step, so I'm going Raptors.
Utah's in a lot of trouble if Ricky Rubio can't play in these first four games, don't you agree?
Yeah, I do. I you can see the difference immediately. I think I just feel like it's too much pressure. You put way too much pressure on Mitchell now.
Yeah.
And Gobert and some of those guys, they just aren't good enough options as scorers. He's more of a rim runner, you know. He's not a guy that you could just give it to him down low and he can be a dominator the way he should be. Ingles is okay.
Quinn Snyder, coach of the Utah Jazz, I got a lot of respect for him. And, you know, after beating Oklahoma City in kind of an emotional series, specifically with Utah advancing in the playoffs, doesn't happen all the time, they only had like 24 hours to get ready for James Harden and that team. Now with a couple days off, with or without Ricky, I bet you Quinn has his Jazz a lot more ready to go in game two.
Yeah, I think it, obviously that's too quick of a turnaround time. I mean, I think the Cavs are going to have to deal with that now, and they'll see what Utah just went through coming off a seven game. Utah's case, well, it didn't go seven, but the Cavs coming off an emotional seven game series, and then they're going to have to play right away. I think that's tough, and I totally agree with you. The next game, you'll begin to see his adjustment.
Let me ask you this about the NFL draft. You and your draft nasty staff, but specifically you put in years of time on each player who's going to be drafted and many players who don't even get drafted. It's like, you know, with all these chats we have with you in following what makes a player nasty, strengths, weaknesses, stuff like that, it's not like you just fire up your computer in January and then have these opinions in April. I mean, they're formulated over years. So,
absolutely.
So in taking the approach you take and being as dedicated to the process as you are, when the draft comes and goes, is it kind of a weird emotional time?
Not really. I mean, I guess the best way for me to put it, Paul, is like this. I'm like a stock analyst. I'm not a scout. I'm not on the ground floor. You know, I've never pretended or, you know, that I'm in a totally different industry. When I say stock analyst, the stock analysts who write books or who write magazines. And basically, you're looking at all these stocks and you're pretty much giving your analysis on them, but you're not, you know, you're not interviewing every single stock. You're not going to the schools of every single stock to try to, because you're not investing in the stock.
Yep.
These teams are investing in the stock. So, you know, I really have a lot of respect for the scouts. I have a lot of scouts that are friends. I have a lot of friends in the league. Obviously, I've been around the league a long time, and I respect what they do. And really, all I'm doing is giving somebody something to read. And my skills are more on the book aspect, the journalism aspect, what I studied in college. And I just kind of combine the two because, obviously, I've had a lot of time in the NFL and I'm like you. I think you're one of the smartest people I know, and I think you combine a lot of different aspects, but you're really good at what you do, and people should respect, you know, what you do, which is you're basically a king in the radio business. So I look at what I do in terms of, and so that's why I don't think I get that emotional about it at all. I just move on to the next assignment, you know what I mean?
I'd like to look at some of these Vikings drafted and one or two college free agents and get your opinion on how they'll fit around here.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's begin with Central Florida corner Mike Hughes.
Well, I think he offers not only the sub-package potential, immediate potential. You know he's one of the draft's best returners. I think you can do so much with him. I think he's a game-breaker. And I think he's a lot more explosive than what he did even in the workout. So I feel like in terms of how he'll fit, he just increases the team speed and increases the flexibility of, you know, just a defensive unit. And I feel like it's really the NFL's best.
Pitt offensive lineman Brian O'Neill. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but at 62, he went about where you had him ranked via your big board.
Yeah, he did. I mean, now, he was 66 for us, but, you know, very easily could have been higher, let's be honest. I mean, this was really the first year he played left tackle. Jerry Jones-Smith was on the other side from him this year, and he had to, you know, make some adjustments. I feel like, you know, before, Biznawati was playing on the left side, so that was a little bit of an adjustment. I still feel like he can play on the right side, has to get stronger, very athletic, obviously. People know about all the touchdown catches and stuff like that. But for me, the big thing with O'Neill, and I think that the Vikings staff will work with him, is just the hand placement. A lot of times his hands get outside the shoulders, and if he could do a better job of getting them inside the numbers, I think that would alleviate some of the power issues.
At 102, Ohio State defensive lineman Jalen Holmes. I believe he potentially could be full-time three technique here.
Yeah, I think if he continues to put on the weight, you know, one thing about him, we talked about the hands with O'Neill. Well, he's got active hands. I think he actually, even when he was on the edge, did a good job of establishing some extension. He's another guy that you can move around a lot in sub packages. You talk about the three technique. I think that's a position for him to create a mismatch on third down. Like the pick, actually had him with a third round grade, and you got him in the fourth round. So I think that's a tremendous value.
Central Michigan tight end Tyler Conklin.
Well, he's a guy that me and you had talked about, I believe, on this show a couple of weeks back about another multidimensional guy, 38-inch vertical, former, obviously, college basketball player. But like I said, if you don't have the injury with him, we could be looking at a guy that, again, could have gone higher. Excellent hand-eye coordination. It moved him out to the number one wide receiver oftentimes in the red zone. I think he snaps in and out of breaks. I think he plays faster again than even he times, and I think he carries his pads well. A competitive blocker who has enough bulk to improve in that area as well.
Next, Daniel Carlson, the kicker from Auburn. They traded up to get him, Coach Abe.
Yeah, man, I mean, he was our number one kicker, and we had him 267, but with a fourth-round grade. So you got him with value in 267 bucks just because of how many players are in the draft. But I think the important thing is you got him at a spot where you're getting a value higher with the guy. I think he has rare leg strength. He's a nine-step kickoff specialist. His hang times or so, the kickoff gets to the 4.2-second range. He made a 57-yard field goal the second day of senior ball practice. His range is up to around 65 yards. Had a lot of kicks blocked in school. Six kicks were blocked. A lot of that is because your kick is coming off longer field goals. The ball comes off low. I didn't think he had been in a lot of game-winning field goal attempt situations, not a lot of pressure moments in school. But if he could correct the block, and I'm telling you, you've seen him in a lot of games, even going back to the ULM game in 2016 on some of those longer field goals, because that's what the Vikings got him for. And that in around midfield mark, you're in his range, he's going to extend the field and make this a better football team. It reminded me of Steven Hauske, the current Buffalo Bills place kicker.
At 218, Tulane defensive end, Ade Aruna.
He was 219 on our board, so again, but 219 with a third round grade. Very good athlete. I'll give you some intel on him. I know his defensive coordinator quite a bit, Jack Curtis. I announced his first college game. He was a kickoff specialist. And back in 2014 against Tulsa. So that tells you what kind of athlete he is, a 262-pound kickoff specialist. But 11-inch hands, tremendous athleticism. I thought he played better in 2016, but during that season, he was more of a stand-up rush outside linebacker. That year he had 5 sacks, 10 tackles for loss, and they had a very active defense that year. Tanzel Smart was the name that got a lot of the credit, but he set up a lot of those things for Tanzel. I like their secondary, Jared Franklin, Perry Nicholson, some of those guys. If he can work on the get-off on the ball, sometimes he can be a little bit late, eliminate the concentration lapses. There was a game I announced his last game of his senior year, 2 offside penalties in the same drive. A lot of things to like about him in terms of just his upside. Very good pick. I think he fits the scheme.
Draft Nasty.
Seventh round, 225, linebacker, Cal Bears, Devontae Downs.
I think he was on his way to his best season this year. Cal's defense really kind of went off of him. Very productive player in school. I thought he was underrated in coverage. I felt like the thing that made him very effective was just the instincts. He has the ability to blitz. He can read the quarterback and underneath zone, finishes on the ball. I didn't ever think he was incredibly explosive as a player, but his eye speed, you know, it stole a couple of steps for him. And that was one of the things I noticed last summer. And for me, you know, the fact that he could blitz, the fact that he has the ability to play some zone coverage, if he would have to prove he could play man-to-man and cover running backs to be a third-down contributor. But I feel like the fact that he was back healthy after being injured a little bit during the year, during his pro day, he got back, at least showing that he's on his way nearly back to health, is how the Vikings end up tabbing him. Because, again, if you're talking about a guy that plays the whole season and doesn't miss half of it, he would have been drafted higher than this.
Now, the general manager, Rick Spielman, made it a point last year to pay a premium for college free agents he truly wanted. So, like Tashaun Bauer from LSU, that they paid markedly more than you normally do a free agent to get him here, and he made the 53, and shoot, he even had a sack last year. They did the same thing with Texas corner Holton Hill. In fact, I think as college free agents go, given they were battling somewhere between 12 and 16 teams for his services, to get Holton Hill, they definitely paid a premium. This Texas corner, why wasn't he drafted, and why should fans be intrigued by Holton Hill?
Well, I think this is another guy that kind of fits with what you do. You got to remember with Todd Orlando this year, the light came on for this kid along with Malik Jefferson and Deshaun Elliott. Again, I'm very cool with Orlando, and I know what he does on defense to challenge people. And he challenged this kid. And you watch him against Marcel Aitman in the red zone, battling for a pass breakup. You see them chase down players to save potential touchdowns. I saw that against Strickland and Baylor in 2016. Guys trying to get a first down. Kenny Hill on the sideline, 3rd and 12, TCU. 17, he'll come up and smack somebody. So, I like the fact that he replaces when his safeties are getting cracked to tackle. I'm very impressed with him as a tackler. For me, why he wasn't drafted, you got to remember, he didn't play the last four games of the season due to a violation of team rules. He's gone. And that was during a time where they were trying to make a run. So you're going to have some issues, and obviously when you go to campus and the guy's not on the field the last couple of games of the year. But that's why you get a guy like this and take a flyer on him as an unrestricted free agent. But to me, he reminded me of Dre Kirkpatrick, albeit a poor man's version slightly. I think he runs well enough, and, you know, right under 4.5, 4.49 speed, and very good change of direction. That is 6.8, 3 cones. He's a guy I like a lot. Yeah, obviously, he's 103rd on our board with a third-round grade. The Vikings kind of, you know, they tear this process up every year. I'm always a fan of watching the Vikings draft. I think they know, obviously they know what they're doing, and not only do they know what they're doing, I just like the style of players that they go after. Like Mike Boone, the free agent out of Cincinnati, another guy that I've had a lot of time and spent a lot of time studying the last couple of years. This guy, you know, you go back, and by the way, before I get started with him, 11'7" broad jump, 42-inch vertical, 4.4 speed. I mean, I don't think those are like rare numbers for any position, much less a running back. I mean, you go back to his first 2 years in school, he had 18 runs of 20 or more yards. I mean, so, and 18 touchdowns those first 2 years in school. Injuries have beset him the last 2 years. I mean, it's just a lot of guys like that you got. Hercules Mata'afa out of Washington State. I mean, you had a really good undrafted free agency draft. If you didn't have the real draft, man, it's pretty cool.
You are indefatigable, and your work ethic is second to none. Thanks for the opinions, and we'll call you soon.
No, thank you so much, PA, for having me on. I really appreciate it, man. And go Vikings. You know, I still bleed some purple.
Yes, sir. Former Minnesota Vikings safety and draft aficionado, Corey Chavis from DraftNasty.com. Now, a fan family member may be grieving right now. That's next.
You're listening to PA.
He's pretty dreamy, I'm not going to lie. He's fantastic.
On the Fan.